Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a Thursday edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the King of King himself. I am the man who always have a plan because I am that damn good. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I just have some guy named Sean Black.
Yes, some guy. All right, it's Sean Black in the building once again. I have to put on the broadcasting voice, so good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, you know what? I was about to say something nasty, but no, I'm going to leave it alone for now.
It's probably advisable for you to do that.
Well, yes, this is a fresh new show for a Thursday night. Thank you for tuning in, because there's a lot going on, so Sean Black and I feel like, you know what, let's just get it out the way, because God knows what could happen from Thursday night to Monday night. So.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah. There have been weeks where we've had topics spill over from one show into the next. This is one where we've gotten such fresh amounts of info that it's not even the same topics. It's things that have built up that we weren't even able to get into on our last show. So.
Exactly. And so the number to call for our two listeners, I want to give a big shout out to Big Mike in California. What's up?
Yes.
The number to call
it I know the number.
You do?
347-989-8402. Am I correct on that?
Well, it is 347-989-8402. Well, you was close.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. For the next 40 minutes, are you ready to piss some people off?
Let's try to, because the rest of the world is pissing everyone off anyway for us.
Okay. Well, a recap of a little about Harvey Weinstein. It seems like this story about Harvey Weinstein, the super producer of Hollywood, is not going away. It seems like there's been more people stepping forward about his sexual allegations, his rape charges. It's just amazing how the mighty has fallen. But just like a Monday show, we talk about Kevin Spacey sexual assault. It seemed like everyone in Hollywood is coming out with some story about so-and-so touched me or sexual harassed me or raped me. Did you find that shocking or amazing, Sean Black?
I don't find it shocking or amazing in that sense that it happens. I am shocked and amazed that this is finally coming out. And we spoke about this Monday in the sense that we know that these kinds of things have been very pervasive. We know this. And as we talked about the casting couch, we've talked about the stereotypes that you hear in Hollywood of the producer or the well-known actor trying to sleep with the person to give them a part in a movie or a TV show or whatever is the case. The fact that we've gotten to, what is it now, up to 70, 60 people, I believe it's up to. I really don't remember the count, but we have actresses, producers, people that are within the business over a span that may go over into the 70s from what I've read. And the most recent one that we've heard of is Paz de la Huerta, who is another actress who states that she was in October of 2010 offered her a ride home to her apartment after a party. They live in the same neighborhood. They had drinks. They go into his apartment, and then she alleged that he took off her dress and forced himself on her. So these kinds of things have been going and popping up here and there, and this isn't just happening with Harvey Weinstein. We've been hearing this with other celebrities. We even heard this with Dustin Hoffman just a couple of days ago, an Oscar-winning actor having an allegation. I believe it was two women that have said that he sexually assaulted them individually at different time periods. So it's not
about,
just – yeah, go ahead.
But what about the one I heard about the former president, George Bush, like grabbing the ass or something like that? I'm like, come on, people. Like, really?
You have to remember, we as a male-dominated society have gotten away as with so much garbage towards women. The things that most men in the male-dominated society have gotten away with because they thought of it as normal can no longer do it now. And the reason why is because it has been brought to the mainstream, to the media, and it also has been taught. This is not the kind of behavior that you are supposed to bring to the table as a male of the species. And the fact that this is getting so much attention now, it is bringing everything to the forefront, and the women that have been assaulted, that have had things happen to them, now have the strength and the power, especially with this new Me Too movement that has happened on Twitter over the last few weeks. Women are becoming more and more empowered to be able to speak to what they've gone through. And somebody as old as George H.W. Bush, even admitting to the fact that, I patted a woman on the butt and I thought it was something that was funny and, you know, to loosen the tension, et cetera, et cetera. You can't go around patting people on the
butt. I'm sorry, Sean, but we men do that. I have a confession to tell you. Back in college, I'm not going to tell you too much confession on the air now.
Okay.
I went around slapping girls in the butt, me and my friends, you know, as a joke. So you going to tell me 20 years later, 30 years later, the hot rod grabbed my ass. You're not going to get no money out of me because I'm broke. And number two, there's a time and place for everything. You're right. Back then, it was typical male dominant behavior. Now you can't do it. Now we learn our lessons. Things happen, especially in the past. Something about Dustin Hoffman, all these things that happened in the past, like, why now? Why everybody's talking about it now? It's like, okay, guys, unless you got raped, don't get me wrong. I'm not condoning these type of behaviors. I'm not saying what I did 20 years ago back in college was appropriate. But like you said, this was a male-dominant thing that we all did. You thought about it. You may not have done it, but I know how sensitive and gentleman that you are. But the high rise, I'm not going to lie, I slapped a woman in the ass, and I thought it was a joke. And maybe she thought it was a joke. But now, maybe she changed her mind.
I will ask you this question, not to cut you off, but I want to ask you this question, and I want you to answer this honestly.
Okay.
You have two children, a daughter and a son. Let's say your daughter gets to about 15, 16 years old, and you find out that some guy slapped your daughter on the butt in a quote-unquote joking fashion, but was not accepted by your daughter as such, and you find out 5 years later it was something that she felt was sexually harassing or it was uncomfortable or something, an unwanted touching in that sense. How would you feel, you being the father, if your daughter told you something like that?
I would slap her. I'm like, you should have said something back then. Don't wait till now. I'm a type of person, I believe, if something happened in the past, I mean, if something happened at that moment, you take action right away or you tell somebody. Don't wait 5, 10 years later. Don't wait till tomorrow. Take action now. I won't be upset with the guy. If God did not know what he did was wrong, I cannot be mad at the guy for touching my daughter's butt.
I will guarantee. Most men know what they're doing is wrong, and they try to get away with it because they can for the most part.
Well,
so I don't agree with that.
No. Why doesn't my daughter like it? Let's be honest. I can't be upset with that. If she changed her mind later, once again, she has to take action right away. She has to say something. She has to say, Uncle Shad, Uncle K-Dog, Daddy, so-and-so touched my butt. And you know what we will do? We will end up in jail, but we will take care of business. I cannot condone actions that happened in the past. I cannot be upset. But I'm sorry. That's just me. I believe in taking the actions right now. But K-Doll, he's a type of guy, he likes to grab, who likes to grab women's asses all the time. K-Doll, to answer Sean,
yeah, what's up?
How you think you will handle it if someone touched your niece or your daughter or your goddaughter in the butt and she did not tell you until years later on?
I would be upset because I'd say, listen, look.
Upset with who?
I'd be upset at her and say, why didn't you tell me anything? Why didn't you say anything when it first happened?
Well, tell you that she was scared or she was nervous or she did not know how to handle it.
I would understand, but still at the same time, I'd have to ask questions like, why wasn't this reported immediately when it happened? That's
so
how
to
I
answer,
see it.
To answer your question, Shaw, it's my job first as a father to give my daughter the talk at a younger age, hopefully before any of this happened. Like, listen, if somebody touched you, you know what? I'm glad you brought up this question. I haven't told my son, who's 3 years old right now, if someone touched you, tell daddy and mommy right away. In any other way. If someone touches you, let me know. So my job as a parent and your job as uncles to plant that in our children's mind today. If someone touches you and you do not like it, tell them. Don't be scared. Tell a teacher, tell somebody. If that person made that statement first, then we take it to the next step. And Sean, you ever touch my ass again, I'm going to kill you. Besides that, but that's how I feel. But let's move on to the next topic. It's a little bit more serious topic. You know, it's funny that for the last 3 years we talk about terror attacks in the United States and around the world. And I don't want to say finally it hit home, but it seems that way. For the first time since 9/11. We witnessed the worst terror attack. Even though the number is very small, 8 people that got killed in Lower Manhattan, that's the first attack since 9/11. But that's 16 years ago. And I know we say this all the time, especially Sean Black, that sooner or later, we will get another attack in New York City.
And I said that as soon as what happened in London, when we talked about that months ago, back in May. And I said that it's sooner or later is going to happen. Unfortunately, I didn't expect it to be like this.
You know, no, believe it or not, I'm not surprised how did it happen, because we did talk about this, what happened in Paris and other places. Like, seems like taking a car or a truck and
yes,
running people down is like a new trend right now. You know, we always had said on the show that we do not see another 9/11 happen, but we do see little small attacks here and there happening nonstop. And once again, unfortunately, it happened here in New York. But it could be worse than what it is right now. But Sean, what's a little bit of details about what happened on Halloween Day?
Well, ironic in the fact that you just stated it happened on Halloween Day. It was around 3:05 in the afternoon. The suspect by the name, I hope I'm saying the name right, and I'm only going to say it once, is Saifulo Saipov, 29-year-old from Uzbekistan, who was taking up residence in New Jersey, got into a rented truck. I guess he rented a truck from Home Depot, which was a flatbed truck, and just drove it into a bike lane, which is kind of like parallel to the West Side Highway, which is nearly across the street from two schools, from Stuyvesant High School and another junior high school, literally across the street in the same area, and just mowed down as many people as he could and jumped out of the car and just started to run. And eventually a police officer by the name of Ryan Nash shot him in the abdomen, and that stopped this from getting any worse than it did. Like you said, Hot Rod, 8 people were killed, 13 others were injured. Based on like the documents of what the court said after they arrested the individual, they found a pellet gun, they found a paint gun, a black bag with 3 knives, a wallet which had the driver's license of the perpetrator, a stun gun on the floor of the rented truck, and a document that was written in Arab and in English, along with two cell phones. So they know that this was a much bigger plot. And from what they were talking about, from what I've read and seen on the news, is that this is something that was planned for upwards of a year in advance. And it was only gotten forward the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 months that they started to, the germination of the planet started to go together. And this has gotten lots and lots of attention because of the fact that we know President Trump has been trying to talk about making laws much more strict for people that are immigrants that are coming into the country, a better vetting laws, and making sure that, these kinds of things don't seem to happen. So we now have the impetus for more fuel on the fire for the president to bring in his argument over this entire deal.
Okay, so to K-Dog first, were you surprised that they called this a terror attack right away in the media? Because once they mentioned the terrorist name, I'm not going to even bother to announce his name. Were you surprised they say that this was a terror attack compared to the Vegas shooting that happened a month ago?
This is what I got to say about this whole thing. Was it an act of terror? Yes, just like Vegas was. And nobody, nobody called the shooting in Vegas a terrorist attack, in which 58 people were killed. But yet, yes, true, this was a terror attack. This is the second terror attack we've seen so far, and I will say second.
In a month. Go figure.
Yeah.
And
we saw Vegas and now this.
And to Sean Black, were you surprised they got all this information about the driver or the terror? And compared to the Vegas shooter, they have little information about this guy, like his motive and everything.
I'm not surprised in the least. And it's mostly because what I've seen in investigations, et cetera, is when we have quote-unquote terrorists, and I'm putting it in quotation marks because when you put terrorists, at least the administration looks at terrorists as somebody of the Muslim persuasion, somebody from the Middle East, somebody that wears a turban, somebody that is of that religion that does harm either on U.S. soil or has come from that religion and has done things overseas, as opposed to what the basis of the word is, which is an act of violence that is to bring terror, either politically or just physically, to harm or scare or maim people, just for the fact of, and as we stated this before, it depends on the skin color and the nationality and the religion, which lets you know who is a quote-unquote terrorist, and I'll go there even to say who lives after this kind of an incident. Because we've seen before people that have done far less being looked at as quote-unquote terrorists, or not called the official word as a terrorist, have been killed for worse than this.
But you're not lying about that, because, you see, this is what it is that comes down to it. We all know when it comes to religion and when it comes to a different nationality, they place a label on you. Like they say, all Muslims are terrorists. Like with this act, because, yes, let's break it down, the guy of the Middle Eastern background. He comes from a place called Uzbekistan. Uzbekistan, yes. That's where he comes from. And they also said that he's a ISIS fanatic, because while he was in the hospital, he asked for the flag to be put in the room with him. And so immediately that gave ammunition. So this ammunition to this guy. Number 45, I'm not even going to mention, who cares? But for him to start to call out for a death penalty for the terror, but yet, the shooting is just for the terrorist. And
sounds like you're breaking up, Tato.
Yeah. Oh, could you hear me clearly now?
Yeah, that's better.
You can hear me now? Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's better.
With that, he was not labeled. The shooter was not labeled a terrorist. And like I said before, this is the second act of terror that has happened here in the United States.
And it's always, you always wonder how it's going to be received by the current administration when something like this does indeed happen. We talked about this
exactly.
before. We wanted to know what's the, how are they going to, the speed in which they will respond, how they will respond, and the tenor of the response is in relation to what have, we've seen in the past. When we saw what happened, as you stated, with in Vegas, what happened in
yeah.
Paris, what happened in London, and we've had a numerous amount of people maimed and killed over religious fanatics, over religion in general, over perceived slights because of a particular oppressive nature, and this is now happening here. And I think
okay.
the thought process seems to always be if the person that does the killing is captured, they're not going to initially kill him because they need to find out, quote-unquote, what the thinking is behind it, when we pretty much know what it is.
And this
Hold
is
on,
different
excuse me.
Because, you
excuse
know,
I'm
this,
sorry.
This,
I have Brother B on the line now. Brother B?
Yo, what up?
And I know,
yeah,
I know just,
Brother B?
Brother B and I discussed this last night. I know you have a different intake about this terror attack. What's your intake, Brother B? Let the world know.
It's a distraction. And all it is distraction, is deflection. Listen, let me tell you something. All right, first of all, the dude wasn't Muslim. He was not Muslim. If you look at his name, he wasn't Muslim. He may have...
Right.
Anybody scream... You know what I find interesting? Anybody can scream Allahu Akbar and then they're supposed to be a Muslim. Or it's supposed to be a terrorist situation. Terrorism has gone on way longer than Muslims. And it's been an act that's been committed by people other than Muslims, whether it's white, black, or whoever. The word terrorism doesn't just apply to Muslims. But, you know, this country seems to have a love-hate with black people and Muslims, and, of course, originally the indigenous people. So with that being said, just because he said ISIS or there was a note in the car that just mysteriously popped up and said that he was all about ISIS, it doesn't, you know what I'm saying? You can't always call a spade a spade. Anybody can say anything, and then, of course, the people are going to believe it. And right now, Trump's ratings are down, so he needs to be the hero of something. And everybody needs to start talking about something else other than the NFL and Colin Kaepernick. So this is something to talk about. And everybody can start getting focused back on war. The war machine could start, you know, get started now and everything else. Like, it's just all BS. It's sad that 8 people had to lose their lives for politics and BS. But, I mean, thousands, millions of people have lost their lives for much less in this country.
Well, for stupid reasons, I believe. So,
exactly.
Do you believe that this terrorist deserves to get a death penalty, as Donald Trump said?
Well, of course. I mean, listen, of course. But my biggest issue is how did he even survive in the first place? Because if that was a black dude, he would have been Swiss cheese. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So what do you mean you kept them alive for intelligence purposes? Come on, man. That's what you have satellites for. That's what you have listening devices for. So what do you mean you kept them alive for intelligence purposes? When I start hearing stuff like that, to me it sounds like a crock of crap.
And it's funny they say that, but this is
the second time they did this.
No, Sean Black and I discussed that yesterday. I'm like, wait a minute. When I found out the suspect was Muslim, like, wait a minute. When the suspect was alive, the first question I said, was he black? He couldn't be black. There's no way he could be black.
No.
If he was black, forget about it.
He wasn't Muslim either.
Because to be honest, you know, one of the first things that came to mind, in my opinion, I thought about what happened at Times Square. when that car ran into the crowd, where that where the guy they said was high off was high off of some bad weed or something. See, you know, everyone is quick to, like I said before, when it comes to anyone from the Middle East, they're gonna label it terrorism. But like
but
I
he's
said,
not, but wait a minute, he's not he's not Muslim. He's like
no,
he's
not.
Either Russian or Uzbekistan. He's
from Uzbekistan.
No, that's what
I said. Uzbekistan.
Okay.
Uzbekistan.
But he's
no, I said, you know, if you are
anybody,
Middle Eastern,
can pick up the religion. Anybody can pick up the religion.
You know what? Anybody, because you know what? Like I said before, when it comes to someone who is of the Middle Eastern, like if you part of that, if you come from the Middle East and you commit a crime, they're quick to label it, they label it terrorism. But when that when the shooter in Las Vegas killed 58 people, and it's a shame that those 8 people died.
It went away quickly.
Exactly.
It was in the paper for like 2-3 days, and then it went away.
You know what? Think about it. That's true. Even though it's been a month, you kind of forgot about the Vegas shooting already.
No, you can't.
With so much that's going on with the NFL, now this, and Sean Black being
you know, it's
white.
This,
it's amazing.
You know what it is, too? Number 45 needs a platform, and he needs it badly because you know why? The walls are closing in on him. It's closing in. The investigation begins. This week there have been indictments. Okay? And trust me, it's going to be more to come.
So,
we have to
get
the last distraction. There needs to be a distraction.
Well, Sean Black, do you believe this is a distraction? Do you believe this is up to Donald Trump? No good?
Everything that happens that has nothing to do with Donald Trump and collusion and the way he's tried to mess with health care and the way that he's tried to get over with this tax cut business that he's been trying to do, which a lot of people don't realize it's really bad, and all the other things that have been going on, anything that he can do to make himself look like John Wayne, to get on a horse and ride and help everybody else and then ride off into the sunset, it's perfect distraction, distractionary tactics and diversion and sleight of hand, because he tries to make himself look like a hero and that he cares about everyone else in the nation and he's looking out for everyone else. What all he's trying to do is now he's got the excuse to further go into the rhetoric that he's had against immigrants in the first place, which is what
exactly.
He ran a good chunk of his campaign on, of fear, on his xenophobic ideology, and also going back to what we've talked about before. If you know exactly, as Brother B eloquently stated before, you don't necessarily have to be from the Middle East to be looked at as a Muslim. You could be a practicing Muslim from Texas. You could be practicing from France or anywhere else. And as long as they see anything that has to do with an allusion to being Muslim, and something like this happens, like what happened in San Bernardino, California last year, all of that stuff that happened, and with all those things, you're already branded a terrorist by and large.
But if you're
there's no question about that. You're not lying about that because we've seen it time and time again. It always happens.
So, but I'd like to know, I'm sorry, guys, if this is really, like, breaking news, should we really be shocked by someone mowing down people down the streets now? Like Brother B said, it's sad. But why would you say this, like, this isn't, like, the end of the world?
Didn't they do it in London earlier this year?
Yes, they did.
Okay, the same thing happened
in London, they did it in Paris.
Yes. Matter of fact, it happened in London twice in a span of a month. It happened in Paris. It happened, if I'm not mistaken, I think it happened in Spain. So this is the kind of blueprint that has been set out by a lot of terrorist organizations that they want to, as they call them, take out as many soft targets as possible.
Not to cut across, but, you know, I got to ask you a question.
Sure.
And it's not so much like a question to put on you, but I just want to hear your feedback on it. So,
all right.
We're basically, what the news is basically telling us that this guy went to Home Depot, rented a truck, got in it with a pellet gun and another type of little, a toy gun, and drove up the West Side Highway, and then jumped onto the jogs and just ran people over, and then jumped out of the vehicle and just started running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
And he had the truck for months, I believe for weeks.
Yeah, he did.
He went to the truck.
They traced it.
They traced what?
The truck.
They traced when he got the truck.
Yeah.
He had that truck for weeks.
Okay, does any of this make sense? Does any of it really make sense? So why would he have it for weeks just to pull off something stupid like that?
And now, but Brother B, there's something else too that they that we got to mention too. Now that they're investigating, they said, "Oh, he was planning this. That he chose to do this on Halloween because there's a lot of people who are outside during that day on Halloween, and
but he
didn't care.
He could have took it to the streets. He could have ran over people in the middle of the street. Why did he go down the West Side Highway on a jogging path?"
And you know what?
And he even crashed into a bus. Let's not forget, he crashed into a school bus.
But to add on to Brother B before you answer, Sean, in other words, why a small area like the bike lane compared to Times Square with 1,000 tourists walking around? What do you think, Sean?
I'll answer you this. It's because of fear. You don't have to kill 1,000 people to scare the hell out of everybody else. You only need to take out a couple to scare a couple hundred. And that's probably the thinking process behind it. Also, it probably just wasn't fully planned out. Whatever happened didn't seem like it was fully thought out, which we've seen a lot of these people that get arrested. They don't seem to think everything thoroughly through. There's no such thing as a perfect crime.
So who shot him? Who shot him? NYPD or FBI?
The NYPD.
It's an NYPD officer.
Okay, wait a minute. You're trying to tell me somebody logically said, "Hey, shoot him in the torso so we can keep him." Come on, man.
But it was a black man. It was a black man.
He
had 49 bullets.
And he would have been dead. There's no question about that.
It doesn't sound right. You're trying to tell, like that's a suspect situation. People say, "Oh, we had to keep him for intelligence purposes." What intelligence could you get from him that you're not going to get from satellite or radio or other various communications?
And the funny thing about that is that somebody else brought that same argument up. Is like they don't necessarily need to keep a hold of this guy to find out what quote unquote makes him tick, or what makes the area, the terrorist group that he's trying to aggrandize himself with.
Of course, they're going to call ISIS.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, because that's popular right now.
Yes.
It's popular.
And
it'll get attention.
I'm not bringing the name up because I don't know from the sense of if that's what they are hearing or if this is what has been confirmed in any
event.
But
they said there was a letter in the truck. They said there was a
letter,
in the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I find suspect too. So he just wrote a note. He had two toy guns, wrote a note, and just ran into people and jumped.
And a stun gun and a bunch of knives and a bag full of stuff. Yes.
So why he did not use any of the weapons when he got out the truck?
As I've stated before, a lot of the people that think of these things, chances are they're really not as bright as they probably think they are. And I think that we've heard a lot of quote-unquote terrorists or a lot of people, like the guy that tried to blow up the plane and put the bomb in his shoe and that didn't work, or the guy that tried to blow up the taxi at Times Square a couple summers ago, that didn't work because the fuse didn't go out the way it was supposed to. So there are people that don't seem to think everything thoroughly through. And if they're lone wolves or they're like a splinter cell, they're only doing it themselves, chances are they're going to botch whatever they're trying to do. But the big thing that we see now is the quote-unquote soft target approach, which is get into a vehicle or whatever and take out as many people as you can and then say that it's in the name of whoever they were trying to get in attention with or whatever cause.
Well, here's the positive side of these things. Compared to other cities, at least in New York, when the attack happened, people took action. People took videos. People called the cops. People, run towards the guy. at least in New York, people are ready to, you know, step in compared to other cities. People run away. But I guess we've been through so much in New York City, we ain't taking crap from no one. So at least that's one good side of what happened this thing.
New York is battle-tested, that's for sure.
Yeah, but
that is true.
New York, we're ready, you know. But do you see another attack happen in the next 3 years or so, or sooner?
I can't predict when, but I'm pretty sure that it'll make it harder for another one to happen. But
this is,
as I predicted before, it's going to happen at some point.
This wasn't an attack. This was an incident.
Yeah.
This wasn't a terrorist attack. This was just a terrorist incident or somebody who wanted to inflict some type of fear. But this wasn't no terrorist situation, as somebody would say, a 9/11 or a Boston bombing or something like that. This was just a massacre. Yeah, this was just some chemically imbalanced individual who just said, hey, listen, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to go do something crazy and get my 15 minutes of fame.
Okay,
He should be dead.
There'll be other copycats out there taking a call,
going to be copycats.
Because it happened, like you said, it happened in Paris, it happened in London, and now somebody had to copycat and do it over here.
Because you know what? Do you guys remember what happened during the summer with that guy in Times Square, the one who was high off of some bad weed? And he ran into the crowd and killing one tourist.
Yeah.
You see, now it's becoming a trend. What goes on, like you said, it's going to be a copycat attack, man. We don't know when it's going to happen, but there will be another attack.
All right.
But that's the thing. We were using the word attack. I don't see it as an attack. I just see it as somebody just randomly copycat and doing something stupid. Because if you're going to really do an attack, attack is like focused on a group, or you have a certain target where you're trying to compromise. Like, this is just a random act of this violence. But to me, that's what it is, simple and plain. I mean, I don't think he had any intended target. I think he was just doing it just to do it because he was stupid. I don't even believe that he was even a part of ISIS. I don't believe any of that. Because you grow a beard and scream it, I don't even believe he was a part of that.
I believe that he does, you know, look it up, ISIS, and like, hey, let me be famous for my, let me get my 15
minutes
of fame.
Yeah, let me get my 15 minutes of fame.
No, but, I don't think anybody is saying he was a part of ISIS as much as he was a sympathizer. And I think that's what the whole issue is.
Exactly, that key word, sympathizer.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let me go to the last topic before we head out. We got 5 minutes left. Excuse me. I've still got my cold. Big news in the NFL. That big pizza chain, Papa John's, the best pizza in the world, is pulling out from the NFL over the protest. And basically, Papa John's lost, like, a lot of money in a couple of hours or so, like $70 million. And the founder, John, whatever his name is, blame the NFL protest and everything. Sean, you're a pizza lover. Do you believe the loss for Papa John's have anything to do with the NFL, or just that the pizza does suck? And then
pizza's crap. That's the bottom line of this. We know in general there are layers to the story, but to give you the quickest version of it, Papa John's went on this rant basically saying about, we are disappointed, this is his exact words, we're disappointed that the NFL and its leadership did not resolve the ongoing situation to the satisfaction of all parties long ago. Leadership starts at the top, and this is an example of poor leadership. And this is going at attacking Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, for not nipping, quote-unquote, nipping in the butt the anthem protests. And
I agree with that statement. I do agree with that.
No,
I agree. With that.
Now, the bottom line is he has a business that he's trying to run, and he's looking at it as, well, it's your problem. You're the reason why I'm losing money because of this protest. Literally, 24 hours after he opened his mouth and said those comments, he dropped $70 million in 24 hours. and the shares of the company dropped 4.2%. Now, for those that don't know, by the way, the guy's name is John Schnatter, which is an interesting name for himself. He owns 25% of the brand because he then started to have people invest and made it an IPO where other people own part of the company. But for those who don't understand where this is going and why he said what he said, this is why. Back in 2012, he criticized Obamacare and said it was a lose-lose situation for his franchisees and his employers and argued that it would cost him between $5 and $8 million annually. That's one. Number two, he's also donated to Trump's campaign $1,000. Keep that in mind. He's very good friends with Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, who has been vocal in basically parroting the same stuff that President Trump has stated about the NFL. And even all more right. So.
Excuse me, Sean. I got Phil the Freshman Fisher. We got 4 minutes left. Yes, Phil, what would you like to say?
What's up, Phil?
I just want to say what's going on, gentlemen. I just want to say the show is a good show tonight. I agree with what Brother B said earlier that we do need to stop talking about the NFL and the whole Colin Kaepernick thing, and we need to start talking about all this other crap that's happening because, you know, you guys will agree with me. Since Trump has become president, there's been more chaos going around, like crazy.
Oh, yes, they have.
No,
his brand
yes,
is chaos,
has.
That's for sure.
It's been normal.
But what Brother B did say earlier is we need to start talking about, you know, all of everything else but the NFL and the Kaepernick situation. It needs to stop, and we need to start talking about, you know, the war machine, as he alluded to. Now, as far as Papa John's go, their pizza sucks. I've had it.
Oh,
I don't care for it.
I mean, I don't like it.
I just want to throw that topic in there, but something fun because I just find it funny. Like, I'm blaming Sean for my drinking problem, you know? Well, I have no more Grey Goose, so let me blame Sean, you know? That's
yeah.
the way I see it. So,
even
Papa
though it
John,
may be something completely that you have control
exactly.
over in your life, you're blaming me for it.
Yeah. All right. Doesn't Papa John know that if you want to, you know, have better sales, change the way you make pizza. And, like, Pizza Hut is doing okay. Domino's is okay. And their pizza is crap, too, but not compared to Papa John's.
Domino's has completely changed over the last 7 years. They flipped their entire business, and they acknowledged the fact that their pizza tasted like garbage. They changed their formula.
Oh,
they changed the way they made the food, and the food actually tastes edible. That's the reason why Papa John's
got pizza.
Yes.
Yeah, Chuck E. Cheese, you're right. Chuck E. Cheese.
They actually changed everything up. And if you think about it, now when you look at the whole, quote-unquote, the official pizza of the NFL, which is what Papa John's was, they've pulled away from that, although you still see ads on TV about that. They've been the official pizza since 2010, but they were the official pizza of the Dallas Cowboys since 2004.
Okay, well, Brother B, we have a minute left. Anything coming up on your show Sunday night?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet, but it might be about sex. But there's everything else too depressing, so I'm just talking about sex.
I have somebody call
about
on that one.
Oh man.
Well,
so
what
Phil,
we do?
Phil, make sure you call in, Phil. Okay.
Okay.
if you do a topic about sex, I don't think we'll have a sex topic. All five guys on it, you know. That might look a little bit too weird, you know.
No. Big Red will be up there.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Okay, yeah, we're gonna need some females input.
So Kato, please put on your dress. Kato, put on your dress and get ready for the weekend, okay?
Why don't you put on your fishnets, man?
No problem. Well, Brother
I thought Halloween was Tuesday. It's November now.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about costumes anymore.
Well, Halloween is every day for
us, guys. For the munchies.
Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Brother B, Phil the Fish, Matt Fisher, and K-Dawg, thanks so much. Have a good night. Tune in to Monday night, 10:30. And don't forget Blog Talk Radio. Oh, excuse me. And don't forget the venue right here on Blog Talk Radio, Sunday night.
Sunday
at 7:00. That's all, folks.
That's all, folks.
K-Dawg, Phil.
Peace.
Hi, bro.
Yes,
okay.
Peace. And of course, the pleasure was all yours.
Yeah, of course, Phil. Sean, Hot Rod.